An overall vision for the DC Universe? Do we have new people in charge of The Flash, Watchmen in development at HBO, and Wonder Woman 2, y'all?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News. Oh.
Just don't stop the music. I don't know, what do we do with our hands now? What do we do?
I just, like, move to an open...
Yeah.
Huh?
Jazz hand.
What's up, everybody? This is the DC Movie News Show on the Popcorn Talk Network with the greatest music of all time leading us in. We got a full squad. We don't got a Kalinowski. We might have a Gertler. Spoiler alert. Where in the world is he? He's like Carmen Sandiego. I have no idea.
How many times did we have to ask him if he was coming today before we finally got that picture?
What was his deal?
He's living the high life somewhere.
Where did he end up?
We can't tell you.
We'll find out. Trust me, I'm sure whatever video he sent in, we will definitely find out. We are at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Johnny LaQuasto here with you at J Quasto. The gentleman right there wearing the beautiful Wu-Tang shirt.
The Wonder Woman.
It looks like Wu-Tang.
Oh my God, I didn't notice.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Where did you find that?
I made it.
Is for the
No,
show
you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you. Really?
Yeah.
You can make a lot of money on that.
Wait, you designed that?
Yeah.
Can I buy one?
Yeah.
Okay.
On public.
He is the host of the Screen Watchers Guild podcast. I've been on. It's an incredible show. Find him on Twitter at @ThePaulPonte. He's Paul Ponte.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back post Wonder Woman being out. I've seen it 4 times in theaters. I have not regretted a single watch.
Yeah. Does it get? Do you pick up new things every time you see it?
I feel like even the second time, Ares' plan makes a whole lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. I like it every time I see it, I like it a little bit more.
Yeah.
For new reasons.
There you go. The gentleman right here, it's so good to have him back on the show. He's a very good friend of the show, longtime friend of the show. We initially discovered him, if you remember, was it 2 years ago with the Jared Leto photo?
That would make sense. Yeah, it was like when they were making Suicide Squad and that photo went out.
We didn't discover him. That he discovered us.
Right, he was watching us, but we talked about his photo.
Yeah.
Because, okay, this is how good a photographer he is. He shot a friend of his as Jared Leto.
We were just messing around.
And it went viral, and everyone thought, oh my God, it's really Jared Leto. That's how good this guy is. Go to RickyMiddlesworth.com. Give your eyes a treat.
Hey, we've got another treat in store.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
My work and you and I collaborating.
Yes, we have collaborated.
I'm excited to get to that.
But I want to talk about the crown jewel.
Is it chocolate? Be honest.
Yes.
I wish it was. He's Ricky Middlesworth, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me back, guys.
No doubt. And the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show. And the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies. She is all over planet Earth. Literally ran in here today and said, guys, I'm sweaty. That's how hard she works. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer and Instagram at Roxy Stryer. She's Roxy Stryer.
I'm so sweaty today.
It's okay.
I'm so sweaty and it's not getting any better. I feel bad.
It's 89.75 degrees outside in LA.
We're in the valley, though, so yeah. Add another 10 to that.
There's no odor coming from it, so don't worry. I think we're
And I haven't eaten, so I feel like my breath smells. This is just a treat for you guys.
This is great.
Yeah.
What a good day.
Remember the time I got a spray tan and then came in here? That was worse.
Ooh, that was a fun day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very apparent.
Spray tan Roxy. It was smelly.
You had a lot of spray tan that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I bet Wonder Woman smells like crap sometimes, too. That girl works up a sweat. So if she can smell bad, I can smell bad.
Girls can smell bad all they want.
I don't think Amazon's...
Just like boys can.
I don't think Amazons have an odor. I wouldn't think. They smell like flowers.
Why? Because she's stunning?
Yeah, they all
are. They smell like beaches.
Yes. Oh, like suntan lotion. Mm-hmm.
She works hard. She's probably a smelly girl.
So should we go to Adam Gertler's video right away? We might as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Steve, if you can cue that Gertler video. I don't know what this is. Oh, Jesus. Look at those massive
It's already on YouTube?
Sunglasses. He put it on YouTube.
Oh.
Hola, DC Movie News. Estoy en Cabo, Mexico. Hola. I'm down here for the Grand Chef's event at the... Grand Velas Resort. You can see over there. I think that's my room.
Wow.
Maybe it's that way. It's on the 8th floor. That's the room. They're really nice.
I
just wanted to chime in, say hello to everyone. I miss you. I'll be back next week. I just wanted to focus in on one piece of news that I thought was great. Is the John Berg comments. This is the kind of thing that I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear like some real great positive comments acknowledging criticisms, but moving forward. I think that's really bold from a studio executive. Normally they try to be very sort of political in how they acknowledge her films. And, like, I thought his comments about Suicide Squad, what worked and what didn't, were so great. It just gives me the most confidence moving forward. I'm really excited about the DCU moving forward with Joss Whedon, with Matt Reeves, with Patty Jenkins, with Lord and Miller.
Keep it going, Adam.
You know, that's gonna happen soon. Keep going. I'm so happy that Ron Howard is now directing Suicide Squad 4. I think that was the news.
Yeah,
the translation is a little bit different down here. But, yeah, hope everyone is great. And we'll see you all soon.
Well, at least it wasn't windy in Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, that's Adam Gertler from Paradise.
God,
being
I'm jealous.
Adam Gertler.
We're like, Gertie, you coming in? You coming in? We get a picture of him with this random dude being like, but Mexico.
Yeah.
So
that's commitment, though. He's on the beach with some like designer.
Oh, he's the best.
Designer sculptures behind him, and he still manages.
And it's a little throwback
for DC.
He's done that many times for us, sending him videos of where he's been.
I gotta start doing that. Problem is, half the time when I travel, I have no Wi-Fi, so I can't really send anything in. Also, Mike Kalinowski, follow him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski. He is also a busy man today. And Adam Gertler at Adam Gertler. So here's the collaboration I'd like to show. I've never shown this publicly. So my new comedy album's coming out in the next, hopefully, 3 weeks, right? So Ricky Middlesworth is such an amazing photographer. When it came time to do my album, I said, there's only one man I want to shoot the album cover. And I told him what I wanted. And he just knocked it out of the park. So I'm going to show everyone the album cover for the first time. And then eventually I'll go public with it on the internet and stuff. But take a look, guys. I hope you like it. This is the album cover for Johnny Laquasto Presents Johnny Laquasto's Johnny Laquasto.
That's so exciting, Johnny.
I can't wait.
You guys, Johnny came up with some weird ideas, and I was up for it. And, I mean, it's super fun. You'll have to explain conceptually what's going on here, but you look handsome as hell. That's all I know.
Which one's the most handsome, Johnny?
I mean, I always
like... Gotta be that middle one, though.
You know me and America the Flag colors, you know. It's just... the whole
that's
album,
very on brand for you there.
Yeah, the whole album has a premise from start to finish, and so when you if you get the album, you're really gonna enjoy it. It all kind of makes sense in a crazy, weird fashion. It's got stand up and music and commercial. It's so strange, and so I wanted an album cover that was as strange as what the content had inside. And Ricky pulled it together. And also thank you to Josh McCuga for letting me use his talk show set.
It's the Josh McCuga cool show. Set.
And you do the voiceover for it.
Oh, yeah. Do you?
That's right.
Okay.
So I love Josh to death. He's a really, really good friend. He let me use the set that day, and Ricky and I came in and took some photos.
And tell us when we can get this.
I'm leaning towards the middle of July right now.
All
so
right.
I'm going to make a big announcement once I finally get the... I have to submit everything, but...
My birthday's on the 13th. You want to drop it then?
July 13th. I was thinking about it, actually.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't want it to take away from your birthday.
No, that would be cool. It would be like as a present to me.
I'll get you 9 albums for your birthday.
Cool.
What are we doing? iTunes, nice. Bandcamp. What are we doing?
Everything. Everything possible. I still have to figure that out. I'm DIYing the whole thing.
Okay.
So I have a lot to learn.
8 tracks. Ready to do this.
Yeah, 8 tracks are fine. If you're into it, if you're into vinyl, Laserdisc, we'll make it happen.
There you go.
So
Wiki.
Let's get to the biggest story of the week. Patty Jenkins, Jeff Johns are writing the treatment for Wonder Woman Dose, y'all.
A surprise to no one.
Well,
so good.
It's not a surprise, but it is interesting that she is not signed on yet. Which
it seems
you know
a little
I mean?
Murky, yeah.
This is freaking awesome. I'm all in on this. They would be, DC Warner Brothers would be moronic not to have Patty Jenkins helping develop this story, and Jeff Johns both. So the fact that they're co-doing it is wicked great, in my opinion. But it is crazy that, you know, she isn't signed on to direct this yet. She definitely will be. But right now, it's like, she's holding all the cards.
Oh, yeah.
She is holding all these damn cards. She's like, well, now that I'm working on the story, too, and I did the only movie that's actually successful critically in your franchise, I'm just going to wait to see what that zero... Oh, no, another
you know
zero, please.
Exactly.
You know what else? It's making money, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's what, 600 million worldwide already?
Yeah, crossing over that 600 mil.
They need to ride this wave of momentum and, you know, reward the players that are contributing to their success.
See,
I'm so glad to see her coming back.
So, like, selfishly, I would wish that they would say, well, we already have her locked down for, like, 10 movies. Because I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that she's not, because for her, now she can get a nice big payday and feel appreciated because she did so well on this first movie for them that she could really, like... you know, build a legacy here.
And think about the pressure Patty Jenkins had. Not only is she a woman getting an opportunity like this, which we all know that does not come every day.
No.
She has to deal with the fact that BVS, critically, didn't do so well. Suicide Squad, critically, She had to follow up both of those with all that added pressure.
But
and
Johnny, I would say that the pressure going into Wonder Woman 2 is even greater than going into Wonder Woman 1. Because
really?
when you got two stankers before you, all you got to do is make something that's pretty good. When you have done something amazing,
okay. Yeah.
And no,
the
there's
sophomore
no longer,
effort is often,
and there's no longer the novelty
tough.
Of having this be the first female superhero mm-hmm. movie to actually critically do well.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Supergirl and Catwoman, etc.
Tank Girl. Tank Girl.
Oh, sure. God bless.
Wait, Lori Petty.
Tank Girl.
Tank Girl's great.
Wasn't Lori Petty Tank Girl?
Yes.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. But I think that going into the second one, there's even more pressure there. And now she's got to be even more creative. It's not an origin story. Which way are we going with this? We know she wants to go contemporary. Some people already off the bat aren't happy about that. We're hearing a lot of, what happened to the 60s? What about World War II?
Yeah, we kind of don't know what direction they're going mm-hmm. in yet.
What was that guy's name? Berg? Something Berg?
John.
John Byrne.
John Byrne.
He said, like, oh, yeah, coyly, oh, it's going to be set sometime between World War I and now.
Right.
Yeah, but Patty Jenkins has very clearly said she wants to make this contemporary.
She said she wanted her to come to America. What I love is the narrative.
She also said that.
Yeah, well, I love the whole narrative of, like, of Patty Jenkins being the success story, this, you know, this feminist figure in, you know, in Hollywood, and she's been on like a press tour. She's on Conan, she's on Fallon, and you know, you don't see directors on there too often. And I think, you know, the industry is really celebrating the fact that this film is doing well and that she's, you know, much to thank for it.
It's incredible.
Yeah. But it's also cool that she's like responding to fans via Twitter and going mm-hmm. on Playboy to talk about it and doing interviews with them. It's not just the big names. She loves these super fans and she's responsive.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool too.
I just think the fact that, I mean, they realize how successful it is that, you know, we got to get rolling on this. And you're right. I think,
strike the iron while it's hot.
Yeah. And Roxy, you're right. That's why I love
more
you.
More pressure?
You proved me wrong. Yeah.
Well, I'm not proving you wrong. You were right, too. There was an immense amount of pressure going into the first one. And now I think we even one-up that.
The question is, I mean, hopefully everything before Wonder Woman 2, whenever that may be, just knocks it out of the park as well as Wonder Woman did.
Yeah. Right.
So we're going to have a lot of movies before Wonder Woman 2.
Well, I wonder how many actually we'll have. We'll definitely have Justice League and Aquaman before Wonder Woman 2.
Yep, yep.
And then I feel like, are we going to have the Batman before?
Yeah, we kind of don't know.
Are we going to have Flash before? Is Batgirl, Gotham City Sirens? Like,
Sirens, for sure.
We might know after I feel like Comic-Con is going to be a big deal this year for DC again.
Did I hear you were going, Johnny? Sorry.
I'm
going
to be doing shows that weekend in La Jolla, so I'll definitely be there. I don't know if I have any kind of press credentials, but if y'all want to let me in, yeah.
I'll definitely be there.
She'll be doing the press credentials for sure.
Yeah, I'll be doing them press credentials, okay?
That's right.
I'll definitely be there, so let me know. Ricky, you too this time?
No, I had such a crazy experience last year doing the Squad
Up
contest.
You're lying, you're going.
I can't, to Comic-Con this
year? Yeah.
I went last year because of the Squad Up contest.
Sure,
I could not even imagine trying to beat that at all. I mean,
but you're not going to go for funsies?
I didn't get tickets, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I might have to just report.
I didn't get tickets, so...
Yeah.
Damn you guys.
Somehow something falls into my lap.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, you're hearing it here, audience. If you have any... anything.
We're like...
Toss it our way.
Begging you guys.
Hook it up. So, Toby Emmerich, I should say, Warner Brothers chief, he not only talked about the vision for the DC Universe, but man, he was relatively just... blatantly honest.
Candid.
Pretty frank about it.
Candid's a great word.
He was candid.
What I love about him is he said, I don't speak comic. I do feel like I speak motion pictures. I speak for an audience. I look and ask, how does this work for a general audience? And I think you need to have someone who always has that vision to go along with everybody else.
Well, I think that what's so great about that is, yes, of course, if we're sitting at this panel, it means that we speak comic in some way.
Sure.
Whether you read them or you watch the shows or these movies or a super fan, whatever it is. But I would say 99% of people seeing these movies don't speak comic.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just have the Geoff Johns in the room. You need to have other people who think about the story. It's important to have both. So you're appealing to both sides.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's new at Warner Brothers now. So it's kind of like, I don't care if he doesn't speak comic. as long as he trusts some of the people that do speak comic.
Yeah.
Like, how open is he to their ideas? That's what matters as well.
Don't mess with the artist too much.
Yeah. I don't feel like this was saying, I don't speak comic, and I don't want to be in a room with anybody who does.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he seems very open.
This is why I loved the Ben Affleck, Geoff Johns combination previously, because I feel like you've got one person who knows movies and one person who knows these stories. And together, that makes a really good match. And like he's saying, I speak for an audience. I speak motion picture. So that's important, too.
Yeah. I mean, he sounds really ambitious, which is great. I mean, he's coming into a really weird situation because Warner Brothers has had such a hot and cold reputation over the last few years. You know, they have got a lot of bombs under their belt recently. And so it's like for him to step into the shoes the way he's doing now. And I mean, it's very newsworthy. He's got a lot on his plate.
And I like what John Berg said here, talking about the question was, you know, Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman, they made money, critics didn't like him. And his response was, he said, on Suicide Squad, the movie did incredibly well commercially. It did not work narratively. You had some great casting, some great characterizations, but where the story fell down was on narrative, on plot. We can do better. Batman v Superman was tonally dark. People didn't respond to that. That's just saying, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a my bad.
In hindsight, and what I'm kind of baffled by is that no one thought about this before the movies got released.
Yeah.
In a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just didn't know if, I mean, they knew it was dark, but, you know, so were Chris Nolan's movies, but they were just, you know, the scripts were better. They just didn't know how people would respond.
I think we're actually better off because of this. Now, how he starts his quote is saying, there are lessons from every movie. You'd be silly not to analyze how a movie was received, what went right and what went wrong on the making of a movie. Now, if you out the gate have the best movie of the entire franchise, then you don't stop and think, are the right people working on this? Is it the right person for that right character? Where should we go from here? How can we grow? You just say, oh, we got this. Oh, we got this. And when you say we got this, what happens? Things get stale, balls get dropped. So we're on our toes now. Wonder Woman officially was the first movie to be like, hey, we're on our toes. Like, we understand what we did, and now we realize we have to do better. So I actually think it's great not only that they're looking at this, but that it even happened in the first place.
There you go. And speaking of Wonder Woman, Berg also said there was a question about her role. There's rumors that her role got increased. He said her role's not changing. She was already playing a big role. People responded to Gal and Gal and Gal Gadot and BVS. We knew we had something special. So there you go. She's already playing a huge role in Justice League. So time to get excited, y'all.
Yeah. I saw a couple people tweeting that they didn't like that they felt like the candidness of this, of John Berg, of Geoff Johns, was throwing other people under the bus. But I didn't feel like they did that at all. It's not like they specifically were saying, Snyder messed up.
Sure.
Air messed up. You know, they were saying, as a team, collectively, we didn't do
as
great a job as we could have. Obviously, that was our intention. Our intention was to be great, but we didn't. And now we're analyzing this. So,
and here's the thing. With any franchise, you're not, they're generally not all going to be incredible. I mean, Marvel's had so much success. Let's be honest. Not every movie's been great. So let's hope BVS and Suicide Squad were just the rough start, and now everything kind of from there.
I think this is a glimpse into how much the earth is shifting beneath all of them right now with the future, as far as the future of the DC universe goes. Because, like, I mean, we're seeing it. I don't think we realize how much Justice League might be different when it comes out because of all. I mean, we've seen, you know, that really sad situation with Zack Snyder and his family, but now that Joss Whedon is on board, now that Danny Elfman is on board, that was kind of a shock to hear the Junk CX reshoots. It sounds like they're really taking this stuff seriously, and, you know, these articles to me make me feel better. That they're, you know, they're not just going to make the same mistakes again.
I agree, and it definitely puts into perspective what happened with the Snyder-Whedon situation. Taking aside for a second what happened to his daughter, which is
totally
so upsetting.
From
divorcing
the situation,
that for a second, you know, a lot of DC fans were like, "Wow, are we screwed here now?" Because this is so late into production, and then it was like Han Solo comes in and is like, I'm going to let you finish, but hold my mic. Like, you know, 3 weeks left and this is what's happening. So we've seen that it's never too late for somebody to leave a project and hopefully for the project still to be amazing.
Well, and Geoff Johns seems like he has his finger on the pulse of, like, who these characters are. And he even said something, I think it was in that Variety article, something about, you know, yes, we want more optimism, but that doesn't mean it always has to be lighthearted and humorous. Like, there are characters that aren't, that's not who Batman is, so it shouldn't be that.
Well, yeah, it's funny because they mentioned the tone and the darkness. There are parts of Wonder Woman that are very dark.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's World War One.
Yeah, you know, trench warfare, you know,
when she's walking over the bridge.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Their overall message of the film was optimistic.
But I think what it did do, though, was it gave you different sides of things. Themyscira was bright.
Yeah.
World War One was dark. Like, you can do multiple tones in the same film as long as it, like, flows.
You're not stuck in a dark basement the whole time.
And
it was overall the feeling you got from it walking out of the theater was hope and optimism and motivation.
Right. That's the message they're giving.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I believe in love.
Yeah.
Same.
Ditto.
I think I do. Anyways, Phil Lord and Phil Lord and Chris Miller met with DC supposedly about The Flash after they left the Han Solo project. This could be a possibility here.
Well, it was not necessarily after they left the Han Solo project. The timeline seemed to be a little wonky on this.
Okay.
Some people are saying that it happened after. Some people are saying that they met with DC before they left Han Solo.
Like they saw the writing on the wall.
Yes.
Oh, they may have been considering the exit, it says.
Yeah, so people are saying, but Johnny, you're not wrong. And it is confusing right now because every source is saying something different.
Yep.
And we talked on the show early on about Lord and Miller being a part of The Flash and where we could go with that. I don't know what the hell's happening here. I don't know what to make of this.
Well, they wrote the treatment 2 years ago.
Right. And what they could potentially have done going further if they had directed it. But I don't know what to make of this. For many different universes. Like, what?
Yeah, what? The only reason they didn't do it was because they had Han Solo. So they were like,
maybe.
Oh, we can't pass up the chance of doing a Han Solo movie. We just can't. And then now they're like, well,
we did.
Now we can
go back
to this.
Yeah.
The whole thing kind of stinks when I read it. Like, reading about the drama on set of Han Solo, it's like, man, like, I can't speak for them, but like,
the fight
between them and Kathleen Kennedy, the head of Lucasfilm, and, you know, they have a very specific vision, and this is how you make these movies. And to me, like, if I was hired to direct a Star Wars movie, like, tell me what to do, I will do it.
Yeah.
So, but
you've got two people that you're hiring to have their vision.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Some of the stuff was like that their comic sensibilities didn't fit with Star Wars.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like they were very open to like letting the actors do improv, and Kasdan, as person who's writing the movie, is like, excuse me, no. Yeah. I wrote this specifically to be Star Wars.
I had that too.
But
3 weeks, man. There's three weeks left.
But
you couldn't have figured this out a little earlier?
Does that improv style work a lot better with someone like The Flash? Yeah, it does.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah.
Does that leave like a PR stink on The Flash if it ends up being true? What about my boy Robert Zemeckis? I want that to happen.
I totally feel you on everything you just said.
Yeah.
Number one, usually I'm like, whatever, their loss is our gain. But when we're talking Star Wars, I don't want it to be their loss. And I definitely don't want to take anything and have there be, because it's always like DC, Marvel, DC, Marvel. I don't want it to be DC, Star Wars. Like, what is that rivalry?
Well,
and then you're right also. I've been sitting here preaching Zemeckis every week now. I'm like, Zemeckis, he's got this. Do I think Lord and Miller would do an amazing job on a Flash movie? I actually do.
Yeah.
But do I want to touch this with a 10-foot pole right now?
Here's the thing, though. They wouldn't have left Han Solo because of The Flash. They clearly left because they couldn't get along with the other people who were in charge.
Well, they were... It doesn't seem like they left. It seems like they were shit-canned.
Well...
Either way, it sounds like they were fired.
Yeah.
And then guess what? I'm sorry, but all is fair in business. If you get fired, you are free to do whatever the hell you want.
I feel like these articles
are kind of just pointing to two things. Like, oh, they met with DC then, and then now, you know, they got fired off Han Solo. So, of course, they're going to do The Flash, but we don't know any of that. We don't know the timeline, like you said.
This is a good question from the chat, and it's making me think. Because, you know, Aura says, what if Lord and Miller did Suicide Squad 2 or Green Lantern Corps? Now, we don't actually know that what they were meeting about with Warner Brothers was The Flash.
Green Lantern Corps would be
that great. Seems to be what the assumption is, but was I in the meeting? Hell no. That'd be cool, though.
They didn't let you in?
No. I tried to get in my Adam suit and then try to sneak in, but they were like, boop. Maybe, ain't Ray Palmer.
Maybe they did what they did with Whedon, and they just took him into that room, and they were like, he was like, you're doing Batgirl? And they're like, yeah. He's like, let me do that one.
Yeah.
Maybe he just sees the list of things they're thinking about.
Could you imagine seeing that board they have?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. I think Green Lantern would actually be a really great movie for them.
Yeah. Can you imagine them quipping between the Green Lanterns?
Yeah. Right. That'd be cool.
Very much so. Here's something cool, too. Matt Reeves dropped a legendary director's name. I dig this. So he was asked if he would take into the Batman stuff from his current film, War of the Planet of the Apes, which looks phenomenal.
All the buzz is insanely good on it.
Yeah. Like, I've never been into the first two, to be honest.
Oh,
like,
my God. They're so good.
The second one's incredible. The first one's good.
We can't call it the second one. What about the originals, man? Sorry. I love the originals.
In continuity of these, but yeah.
I grew up watching the originals, like, every single month, so. Yeah,
I love the originals.
The originals are talking the way back in the day.
Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Right. So the first one we're talking about is the one where the ape finally says words at the very end, right? James or is there Franco. A second one that I'm missing?
When you're talking James about the first one of the first new one, ones.
What, and that was how many years ago? That was at least 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes was
And this is the follow-up. Okay, cool. Then I did see
this
that one.
This
is
the
and
third
I
one
it.
In that series.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So they asked him what he would take into it, and he actually said, for me, point of view is really important. I want to make sure you're experiencing something from the perspective of the main character. I'm a huge Hitchcock fan. I like the idea of being immersed in that perspective, and obviously Alfred Hitchcock was doing things that nobody else was doing.
Yeah. This, I've never seen a comment get blown out of proportion as much as this comment was.
Really?
People are like, what? Like, he's putting Hitchcock in Batman? What is this, going to be a horror movie?
It's going to be birds.
Then they clearly weren't listening to what he was saying.
But every comment, every headline, if people are only reading headlines, Batman could have a touch of Hitchcock, director says. It's like not quite what he said.
No,
he just wants you to feel what the character feels.
Matt Reeves, every time I hear him speak in an interview or read an article, he is clearly such a cerebral person, and this is what makes me so excited with him coming onto the Batman franchise. It seems like it's in really good hands with him. He's thinking of it from a character-based level. He's not thinking of it at, like, you know, how to sell toys or what we can, you know, let's blow up this, let's have, you know, I don't know, this action sequence. He's very much focused on the narrative, kind of like how Christopher Nolan was. He was very articulate and very kind of just intellectual with the way he approached the character. And this makes me very excited.
Mm-hmm.
When he cites this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Well,
with
from
you.
One director that the DC Universe is very excited for to another that
not
many
so much.
Kind of wish they would go away. That's Joel Schumacher. He says that he initially had plans to make an Arkham Asylum movie.
Good for you.
By the way, we just happy 20th anniversary of Batman and Robin.
Yes. Just a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm. Ice to meet you.
I made my husband sit through it because I said it's the 20th anniversary today.
No.
That's what we're doing when we get home.
Good
and you know what?
You.
I'm always a weirdly a Joel Schumacher apologizer. Not necessarily for that movie, but like I celebrate Batman forever.
I like Batman forever.
Yeah, and that's like a whole other podcast. But like, am I crazy? I would have watched his Arkham Asylum movie and
Me
probably
too.
Found things I liked.
Oh. In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, for the same reason that I still watch Gotham because Arkham Asylum, and I'm like, oh God. This is funny that we've talked about him back-to-back weeks on this show.
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden, like, Schumacher speaking up about his past and what he
this
used to
This poor man.
On.
I mean, how many times has he apologized for this movie?
Last week we talked about it. He's like, I'm really sorry about the nipples. I didn't mean to offend
like
you guys
a,
with the
like
bat
a,
nips.
He was like a verb for a while. You'd say you Schumacher a franchise.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be rough.
Joel Schumacher is actually a very talented director, and you know, he obviously not in this case with Batman and Robin. He was, you know, shoved into this little 2-year box to make a movie to sell toys. But I don't know. I think he kind of would have done some cool stuff if he was given more freedom and time.
His quote made me a little skeptical about it, though. He says, I always wanted to do the whole Arkham movie and did a scene at the end of Batman Forever when Jim Carrey is in a straitjacket and Nicole Kidman comes to see him. And it was just a nod to back to Arkham Asylum, which I love. And I thought it would be fun to put the other villains up there.
Like, right.
That's why you wanted to do it, because you thought it'd be fun to put the other villains on.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
It'd be fun to throw in a bunch of villains. It's like, ooh, that's actually when things go wrong, when you just decide something would be fun to throw a bunch of villains in.
I think Joel Schumacher probably grew up on the 60s cartoon.
Yeah.
And he's very much influenced by just kind of the iconography of them, and not necessarily about like
I'm watching
what they
this,
mean to fans.
I'm watching the scene from Poison Ivy helping Mr. Freeze escape from Asylum here. And it is very, very cartoony.
Yep.
Yeah.
I maintain, though, I rewatched that movie again, you know, for fun. I maintain, though, that as badly written and everything is, Mr. Freeze and his motivations and his backstory
is a lot
more well-developed than a lot of comic book villains today in better movies.
I love this.
But Schwarzenegger was odd. I couldn't take the wordplay.
I love the new stuff, by the way. He had acid leaking into his mouth.
Yes, there was some new
during the movie.
fun facts about the making of the movie. He had battery acid leak in his mouth from that LED light.
Yeah.
And that's why we got...
Because you just had to have the LED light.
Today.
Well, and they were also saying that the script was different. Originally, Mr. Freeze had very sort of articulate dialogue, and they changed it and went the route to the ice puns.
Somebody gave Schumacher a pun book, and he went, oh.
Yeah.
It's a jungle.
It's amazing. I've seen so many.
That was the pivoting point right there.
Which is more hated? Batman and Robin would probably be more hated than...
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever works for what it wanted to do.
Except for Tommy Lee Jones.
And it had
a
lot of major stars at the time. Massive blockbuster stars at the time.
No, it's funny because when they were talking about Batman and Robin, they said, you got to remember back then, like, they used to have to, they would, like, fine people money on the set if they leaked a photo of Mr. Freeze. And this is, like, pre-internet.
Yeah.
And they were, like, freaking out. They said they had to...
Pandemonium around that film.
Every time he walked between sets, they put a curtain rod around him that would move with him so that nobody could see the costume from far away.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we got to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
And it's for that movie.
Have you ever seen his Mr. Freeze costume at WB? They have the tour where they have all the costumes
on display. I haven't. I've been wanting to go on that tour.
It's pretty gorgeous in person. I mean, like, I'll sit here and defend Joel Schumacher, not that film, because, you know, it speaks for itself, but there are a lot of things to love about it.
Here's something that, Rox, I want you to hit here.
Yeah, I'll help you out here because it's hard to talk about.
Another example of how social media can sometimes really mess things up and throw things way out of proportion. So,
a writer from
Teen Vogue basically got word that Gal Gadot made $300,000 for Wonder Woman, whereas Henry Cavill made $14 million for Man of Steel.
So here's a tweet. This is coming from Lauren Duca, and it says, Gal Gadot made $300,000 for Wonder Woman as compared to Henry Cavill's $14 million for Man of Steel. The most compelling DC villain is the pay gap. So that's a very aggressive tweet she tweeted out. That was on the 20th of June.
There's no doubt there is a
7 pay gap. In the morning. That girl woke up and was like, I'm tweeting this. 7 in the morning. People have to know.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I will say. I will say that everybody knows that there is an egregious gap in money between men and women, not just in the entertainment industry.
Next, you're going to tell me people really landed on the moon.
Yeah, everybody knows that in a lot of different industries. And it's disgusting, and we're working on it. And as a society, we need to continue to work on that.
Yep.
Definitely. That being said, it doesn't help our cause when people are tweeting things that are not facts. #fake news.
And if she was paid $300,000, it's right in line with Chris Evans for the first Captain America. Mm-hmm. It's twice as much as Hemsworth for the first Thor. So,
the false equivalency was
the $14 million.
The $14 million was after his royalties and residuals once the movie.
It's not a good thing to tweet because already you're a woman tweeting this and your back's against the wall. We need to be even more careful when we're citing things because now people, the next time they see something like this that is true, they'll be like, fake news! I've seen things like this before.
She's totally cannibalizing her own cause because
it's tough.
It's a noble
thought. And I'm sure she wasn't meaning to, and I'm sure that was not the intention.
You gotta do your research.
Yeah, but it's tough. And for something like this to get 14,000 retweets and 29,000 likes... You cannot just tweet things that are not based in truth and have such great ramifications. You know, it's just not right. So am I probably thinking that Gal Gadot makes less than a lot of the male superheroes? Yeah. Was she less big of a star coming into it than somebody like a Ben Affleck or Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr.? Are there other factors at play here? Yes. Much like Patty Jenkins, do I think that she's going to hold more cards now and be able to get paid more in future jobs?
Yes.
We need to fight for that. We need to fight for women to make more money, not for men to make less money, and we need to cite things properly.
I mean, we live in an era where it's, you know, these journalists' responsibility more than ever to make sure they're giving facts.
And
facts.
As a journalist, you're telling me you read that Henry Cavill was paid $14 million up front?
That's
and you
insane.
Didn't think, wait, what?
You're not thinking,
the Tudors?
No one knew.
Is this
tweet
going to gaslight something? I don't know.
I will add, though, that $14 million, while that would be a lot and make me raise an eyebrow, $300,000 makes me raise one too. $300,000 is low.
Yeah,
I know that doesn't seem low because a lot of us are working. Yes, but a lot of us are working jobs where we make $40,000 a year, $50,000, $60,000. So $300,000 for one movie, people are like, "That's a lot of money." It's not compared to what she did leading this entire film. I'd be interested to see what Chris Pine made on this.
Well, she's also probably renegotiating her contract going forward.
Of course.
Let's hope.
I think she was probably signed on to more than Patty. I think she signed on to 3 or 6. Usually that's what they do, but she will be able to negotiate at some point in the future.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject of numbers, these are impressive. Okay, so Wonder Woman domestically is approaching $300 million. It's essentially going to be crossing past Man of Steel any day now if it hasn't already. It's already making more money than The Matrix Reloaded. I mean, this movie, it's killing it on Rotten Tomatoes. It's critically getting so much praise. It is making money, and it's the word of mouth thing. It's everyone is telling everyone, like, oh my God. Like, I've talked to a few people that were like, I saw it. It was okay. But everyone else is like raving about it. Like, I'm not one that raves a lot about movies. Like, if I'm entertained, I'm like, it was cool. I will rave to everyone I can about this movie. Because really, I saw it at 9 in the morning, and I got emotional 3 times.
You know what I was kind of bummed about, though? I went on, I co-hosted Schmoes No movie show last night, and it was, that was awesome. But when we sat around the table, they played this game, What's Better, and they compared two movies. And it was, if you had to kick one movie off the face of the earth and keep one movie around, and they said Logan or Wonder Woman, and almost everybody kept Logan. And
what?
I was really surprised.
Seriously?
They said it was just the better movie.
No,
and
it wasn't.
I feel as if I feel as if Logan was good, and I feel as if Wonder Woman was life-changing.
Absolutely.
And that's a huge difference for me. So, but I was really surprised, and I was wondering, what do you guys think about that? Would anybody choose Logan over Wonder Woman?
I saw Logan.
Is so good.
Logan was great.
That's such a mean question.
I thought it was good. I did, but
Logan
I did not
good.
Think it was.
It was a tad gory for me, but at the same time, there's no way in hell would I choose Logan over Wonder Woman. Not even close.
I mean, I see them as two political movements forward, you know, because, you know, Logan held its political relevance for me, at least, you know, being about refugees and all of that.
Absolutely.
And Wonder Woman was, you know, for obvious reasons, political and aspiring. But yeah, I can't choose because it's like they're both so amazing in different ways.
I mean, the young girl was incredible.
Oh, Daphne Keen, yeah, she's amazing.
People in the chat getting real aggressive. Ivan Soto, burn Logan to the ground.
Okay, let's not get crazy.
Oh my God, really intense.
I mean, that's a tough choice.
I also saw a story this week. Who was it that said they wouldn't be surprised if we got a rated R DC film?
It was, what's his name?
Was it John Berg?
Yeah, no, it was
Toby?
He said, don't be shocked if you see an R-rated DC movie.
Exciting.
I'm like, okay.
Well, what do you want it to be?
Let's dump into those Virgo characters and let's try to find someone.
Hey, there's certain moments of Preacher that I'm watching. I'm like, this is on television? Yeah. I mean, it's pretty rough.
We'll talk about that at TV time.
Sorry.
I mean, if they did Death in the Family, you know, with Leto and all that, that would be...
If they do an R-rated movie, I just don't see them putting a Batman character in a movie like that. It would be like some side character. I just don't see it.
Like a Lobo or something.
Yeah, because they would just be so afraid.
It's so hard.
And
they
release the black and white version
in and out. You know, like the reason why something like Deadpool or even Ant-Man, because they could be standalones. But I don't know if you could go with your biggest. I don't know.
In my dreams.
Yeah.
So, talked about Hemsworth a bit earlier. He confirmed that it was illegal for Marvel actors to show up in DC films. Thought that was entertaining.
I think he means Avengers actors. As in, if you're in the Avengers, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone's tripping out.
If you get a walk-on role as a waitress, you're good.
But it means we're not getting Robert Downey Jr. as, like, Two-Face or something. Yeah. Which would be cool, but...
I mean, not now, but, like, it's... illegal is such a weird word because...
Yeah.
I don't know if... Would DC want you? That would be confusing. Additionally, well... When are you going to do that? Because I'm pretty sure you're busy. It just was a weird...
I would funny. Rather them not like cross pollinate like that because it's does confusing. Brand wise is weird.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like at some point, I think it's cool when you make the jump. You've been in one place for a while. That series right. franchise ends. They're picking up. They're doing a reboot, and you jump over to the other team. That's cool. But like, right. do you really want your Thor being your Batman no, simultaneously?
Well, We'd be like, it's what? Not like yeah. Affleck's doing Daredevil on Netflix right now. You know, he did it years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you can separate the two mm-hmm. eras. Yeah. yeah.
And almost ready for TV time. But first things first, Batman and Harley Quinn animated film will yes. be debuting July 21st at Comic-Con. But it's going to hit theaters for one night only, August 14th.
I'm so excited about this. Yeah. I get to go to a movie theater and watch Bruce Timm and Paul Dini's world on the big screen. That's
and I, cool. I hope it's better than The Killing Joke was. I will say that.
I agree.
When we heard Melissa Ralph's voice on this show a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago, because we were playing, they had released a little bit of her. She sounded awesome. That got me really excited.
She sounds good. I just grew up like the Batman the Animated Series was biblical to me, and so it's jarring to hear
it's different.
And the animation style is a little bit simpler, and that's tough to look at. But like, hey, give me Bruce and Tim, Bruce and Paul Dini any day, and I will just be grateful for whatever I get.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And finally, there's some Hello Kitty action with Wonder Woman. That is just an adorable way to end the movie news if you want to see this photo. Look at that.
Cute. What is that,
a pin? In Japan, they're partnering Wonder Woman and Hello Kitty.
Okay, that's a big deal. Hello Kitty's massive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I've heard of Hello Kitty. That's how big they are. I actually know what that is. Yeah. That's something.
This isn't the How promotion cute. Marks the first time Hello Kitty character has partnered with a major Hollywood film, though Hello Kitty previously helped market local films such as The Ring.
That just sounds so crazy to me.
So that is a big deal.
Yeah.
Who thought that a Hello Kitty, like, you know what movie we should partner with? The Ring.
The Ring.
Yeah.
You know.
The Ring. You know what's also cute? A long-headed weird girl crawling Samara. Out of the TV set. Yeah.
When I think Hello Kitty, I think of that weird face that they make when they find them.
Yeah. You know what Hello Kitty needs?
Now I want to see what it looks like.
We need nightmares.
Yes.
So, with that said, that's it for the movie news, which means it's time for...
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time.
Sing along with me this round.
Roxy Stryer's TV time. She thinks that the Flash is fine. Both of them.
DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV time.
What up, though?
Maybe the biggest news of the week right here.
Yeah. Seriously. I know. The second it happened, I'm so sad that Mikey Christmas isn't here right now.
He'd go crazy.
He was, like, freaking out in our chat. It just, like, all capitals, Damon Lindelof for Watchmen! So Lindelof is developing HBO's Watchmen TV adaptation. I'm obsessed with him, not only because he has done two of my favorite shows. In my top three shows, he has two of them.
Amazing.
So that's wild. But I know people have been really looking forward to Watchmen, and I feel like, tonally speaking, who could be better than him for this? I mean, it's so up his alley. Now, I have seen some concerns, because when Lindelof works on a project, it usually means it might be a little ambiguous or confusing at points. How are you guys feeling about this announcement?
I loved The Leftovers.
So good. So good.
So much. And I'm just wondering who Justin Theroux is going to play. Because I'd take him as the comedian. I'd take him as Dr. Manhattan. I'd take him as anyone, really. Yeah. I'd put him as Silk Spectre. Why not?
Does that, you know, if he's Dr. Manhattan, he'd be naked the whole time,
which he's very comfortable with.
Which, well, he's got them testo.
I'm on board for that, then.
Yeah. You look at Lost and The Leftovers, this is going to be something.
I know.
I mean, I know. The characters that go along with it, in the vein of what we already see on HBO, oh, damn.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm really excited about that. I haven't seen The Leftovers, but, I mean, Watchmen just, it sounds like such a world that you can open up as far as a series goes, and especially at HBO. You can do anything.
You think we could pull Carrie Coon over?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do this. Let's do everything.
Let's just draft. Yeah. Or Evangeline Lilly.
I would take her.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I'm just drafting people from his other shows. From Lost and for Leftovers. I'm just going to pluck them.
What's the actor's name who played Sawyer?
And now he's on, then he was on Hawaii Five-0.
I forgot his name.
Josh Holloway.
There it is.
And I think enough time has passed since...
I couldn't grasp it. It wasn't there. I couldn't find it.
Enough time has passed as well since 2009 in the film to where I think this is going to get people really, really pumped up because there's so much... The story behind it's really cool, too. So this is something now... Do you see this playing out as like a one-season miniseries kind of deal?
No, we got to create a universe.
You think? Okay.
Well, I thought what's just as interesting is that I don't know if it was a rumor before, but Zack Snyder is not involved in it.
I think he dropped out of everything after.
Yeah.
I think he's just taking guy.
Time. I think that he will be involved in some way. I think that Lindelof is somebody who would check in.
Respectful.
He's worked with people many times. You know, he's not like, I only work alone. So I feel like not just being respectful, but I think he'd honestly want Snyder's artistic advice and help there, because if there's one thing Snyder knows how to do, it's to make beautiful worlds. And when you're developing a show and a universe that has to last, I feel like who better to call than Snyder?
Speaking of the way you talked about the ambiguity stuff though with Lindelof, I think we've seen The Leftovers is a lot less ambiguous than Lost. I think Lost left a lot of stuff unanswered, whereas Leftovers kind of gave us some closure at the end.
Yeah, I never watched Lost, but people were mad at that series.
I liked it anyway.
I still loved it, but...
He does have more source material here, though.
Exactly.
I know that Leftovers had source material, but not past the point that they went. So we have things to reference and be like, hey, wait, let's stay on track. We know that this is what could happen next.
Yeah, he has a path he can stay on or divert from and then go back to, like, as opposed to when he's just making it all up.
I think that this is a great show. A great person to be on it, a great network for it to be on, the perfect timing. I'm like in on every single count of this.
I'm excited for DC TV to have, you know, a very adult tone. I assume they're going to go very adult with this because, you know, everything on CW is, you know, tonally, you know, kind of millennial. And this could go very sophisticated.
I agree. By the way, sorry, Yvonne's correcting me that Holloway is on Colony, not Hawaii Five-O. I'm so sorry. During TV time, I mixed up my TV shows.
Sometimes you can't be perfect.
Yeah. Roxy. So any other thoughts, guys, on this? We're all watching for sure. So.
Oh, after watching The Young Pope, I would put, what's his name?
The Young Pope?
Yeah. Jude Law?
Jude Law. I'd put him as Ozymandias.
Cool.
Because,
Pretty good. All right.
So, Supergirl news.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of this. Season 2 of Supergirl was stronger than season 1. I felt like it was just getting better and better. One of the showrunners, not Kreisberg, of course, actually just left, Ali Adler, who was co-creator and co-showrunner. And they signed an overall deal at CBS TV Studios, and she's going to remain an executive consultant on the series, but no longer showrunner. So two showrunners are stepping up to be co-showrunners now. They were previously working on the project, but not as high of a title. Jessica Queller, Robert Rovner, I think is how Rovner is how you say his name. And they're going to be working on this. So they're hiring from within. I think that this show is doing really well.
Yeah.
I think you don't really mess with something if it's not broken, but, you know, we'll see how this goes and how this changes things. I doubt we'll really notice that much.
And quick sidebar, I know this goes back to movie news, but I didn't realize, I just came across my screen here. Transformers last night, tanking. It's only been out for 5 days-ish.
I didn't even know it came out.
Oh, it came out on Wednesday, so there were Tuesday screenings. Yeah.
Is it the first time that it's gonna that a Transformers movie will finally tank?
It's supposed to make under $60 million for the opening weekend.
For Transformers, that's tanking.
But what's that foreign number? That's what matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Because those movies do so well overseas.
It's not going to matter. That movie's going to make so much money. Okay, moving on with TV
news.
Anyways,
go ahead. Sorry.
So I know that we checked this out. Adam West was in an episode of Powerless. Powerless was canceled. I think it was canceled far too soon. And they already had episodes in the can. One of them was with Adam West. So luckily, thank you for making the right decision, NBC Universal, for releasing this. I found it on NBC.com. I don't know where you guys checked
Hulu.
It out. Okay, Hulu. So
I think they posted it to Hulu, yeah.
Hulu. I literally saw it on NBC.com. So you even if you don't have the... You can just go to NBC.com. And... what do you guys think about the episode?
I thought it was a nice sentiment. And,
I really liked it.
You know, it felt very, you know, sad to watch his last performance like that.
It kind of flipped me out how, like, young and vibrant he seemed on the episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was just the there and with it.
Well, he's
funny.
One of those guys that the flat, you know, the snap of a finger, he's on. Yes. Yeah. He's one of those guys that he would be able to jump right into what he was, almost like William Shatner in a way. Shatner knew how to be Shatner. Adam West knows how to be Adam West.
Yeah. Yes. It did make me really sad, though. It was hard to watch it without thinking about the surrounding circumstances, but I am glad they released it. I love the show. I can't wait until DC's streaming service so that hopefully they can make decisions like keeping the show and giving something longer than a first chance. Mm-hmm. What if Parks and Rec was canceled after 6 episodes, season 1?
Yeah.
And we never would have gotten Parks and Rec, so.
Yeah, it was like 2 times the sadness because, one, I had already put to bed in my mind that Powerless was gone.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, here's an episode. And then I was like, I really enjoyed this episode. Oh, yeah. I kind of wish the show was still back on. And then, of course, Adam West. Just all the fun Batman references to the 66 show.
Yes.
And all the nods to all the Batman stuff with him was just great. Alan Tudyk was hilarious in this episode. He's Everything great. About this episode was great. Yep. And it just made me so annoyed that this series was canceled so quickly.
Yeah, me
Both
too.
Both of them are gone.
Yeah. Scion said, I felt Adam West was the best part of the episode. A lot of people are reminding us that they also, DC put it on YouTube, so that's an easy way to watch it. So you can find it wherever you are. If you want to check it out, it's definitely worth a watch.
Did anyone make it to City Hall last week to
no,
see the Bat-Signal?
We talked
no,
about it. It was
Did
the
you?
Night of the show.
You live in downtown.
Yeah,
so.
I walked there. It was there incredible. Amazing. There were so many people there. It was really special to see that. The mayor, Eric Garcetti, took it very seriously, and it was really cute.
That's awesome.
Refer to us all as Gothamites. And all of that. It was really touching.
That's great. That's great. I love that. Okay, so a little bit of weirdness going on for Preacher. I just want to talk about this so that people understand what's happening here. Preacher is now moving to Monday nights. However, they are airing season 2, episode 1 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 1 will be Sunday, episode 2 will be Monday, and then moving forward, it will be only on Monday. I only know that because I reached out to a publicist over there to ask because it was very confusing. And I feel like their advertising has all it said is coming back this Sunday. So just so you guys know, it is not on Sundays. It is on Mondays. It just is airing the first episode of the second season on Sunday.
That's very confusing.
Very confusing. So it'll be 2 episodes in 1 week.
I love that you reached out to the publicist.
Because I didn't know what was happening.
That's awesome.
I was confused. I was like, yo.
See, you're using your journalistic skills.
What is going on here?
You don't
here?
Want the fake news.
Yeah, good work.
See, people in the chat, Monday. Like, I didn't understand. It was very, very complicated. So, yeah, that's what's going on. If you love Preacher like I do, then you're going to want to watch this Sunday. And also this Monday, and then the following Monday, and then the Mondays moving forward.
Got it.
Cool? So that clears up that. Billy Zane, y'all! Billy Zane was cast to play P.T. Barnum on DC's Legend of Tomorrow. You guys know we do this on the show where we go back in time. Sometimes we meet real people. Sometimes we meet fake people. This time we're meeting Billy Zane as P.T. Barnum. So that'll be cool and interesting. Wow. And I like bringing Billy Zane into our wacky show. Feels like he fits on Legends of Tomorrow better than any other show. I mean,
oh yeah,
like, come on,
he's very big,
yes,
acting wise, and that's perfect for Legends of Tomorrow,
right?
Yeah. Billy Zane, he doesn't age.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. The show's EP said, obviously, we couldn't resist putting Victor Garber and Billy Zane back on screen for the first time since Titanic, but I've wanted to bring Billy onto Legends ever since I saw him in a Friends comedy pilot. I'm not sure that people know how funny Billy is, although we cast him as P.T. Barnum because we knew that he would be able to find the soul beneath the larger-than-life showman. It's about that soul, y'all.
I would recommend to anyone who wants to continue having fun with the show to not look into P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
Just don't. you're not going to be able to have fun with the character.
Right.
It's no. Has there ever been anyone who everyone wanted to cast as a character purely for his head as much as him with Lex Luthor?
I know. The longest casting with him and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he's perfect for Legends of Tomorrow. It totally works.
Speaking really quick, unfortunately I watched the new Power Rangers, and I don't know why Bryan Cranston chose that heaping pile of poo overdoing Lex Luthor because we had heard that like
sources
he was in
say, yeah
sources say big mistake.
We don't know how that worked
Probably
out. You don't know. What happened?
I don't know
what
how that
down,
worked
yeah.
out, but I saw him want
I doubt it
in
was
an
like
interview.
That.
He said he wants to do characters that hadn't been done on the big screen before and stuff like that. Anyways, he would in my dreams.
I think what they did was they said, "Hey, how would you like some money to basically do some voiceover for like 20 minutes, and then film one little scene for Power Rangers?" And
God, it was terrible.
Enjoy your money.
So we did have, because before Preacher starts, we're pretty much off. You guys know Supergirl, Lucifer, Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, Arrow. All gone right now. It's making my life really sad. Mm-hmm. But we do still have iZombie, and that is giving me life. I'm nervous for Liv Moore. Here's where we get into some spoilers, guys. I'm nervous for her. Like, in this episode, I get, girl, you got zombie brains in your head, but you cannot just cheat on your boyfriend. Mm. Just because you got somebody else's brain in your mouth. You know? And I didn't even mean that to be like a
zombies
double entendre.
Are supposed to
Zombies can't have morals? Come on now.
You can. And she's trying, and you see her fight this, but I was like, girl. And then why has he got that napkin with somebody else's number? And you're stressing me out, and you got a good boyfriend. But even him, it's like, why aren't you with Major? And I get you guys can't have sex because you're a zombie and he's not anymore, but let's make it work. And what about a good old Connie? Just make sure it doesn't break, though.
Maybe two.
So I'm really, like, I'm feeling for these relationships.
Some sensuality, but you gotta use two.
You gotta, you've gotta double wrap, then double wrap, Live More.
Yikes. Sure.
You gotta be with the person you love.
Even if you have to wear a hazmat suit.
I don't get why he was so obsessed with becoming a human again anyway until he knew you could, and he knew he had already given away the other cure, and I know he thought there was more, but, yeah, and Ravi, come on, bro. You're gonna just do Live like that? And just talk to this reporter side piece. If you let her back in.
Reporter side
piece. I love hearing this without the context of knowing what you're doing. Because
cool.
I same thing. Admittedly don't watch the show until it's like full season binge.
It's not cool what he's doing.
This.
And you agree. And I know you do.
I'm sure I watch the show.
Yeah, I will.
This show is awesome. And it makes you question so many things. And wow, I didn't even talk about what the dude, the guy that we hate, I don't even know what his name is. The dude that now, obviously, they have white hair because the zombies, but the one that was like, I'm gonna kill all zombies, that ends up turning.
Yeah.
He comes in with the dynamite? Are you for real?
You are getting Def Comedy Jam on iZombie right
are
now.
You
are getting.
For real.
Wow.
We had explosions, okay? This was crazy. This was a crazy, this was probably the craziest episode to date. I love iZombie.
Good for you.
That's it.
Good deal. That's it for TV time, right?
That's all our TV time.
Well, that's it for the show. So let's all put ourselves over at DC Movies SK on Twitter, Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski, Adam Gertler at Adam Gertler, Ricky Middlesworth. Go.
I'm on Instagram at Ricky Middlesworth. I have lots of pictures of me and my cat. That's
your artwork, too.
Are we ever going to get you to get a Twitter? Or never.
Probably not.
Go to RickyMiddlesworth.com, and you will just be amazed at the photography on there. And I might be on the front page.
Oh, I'll have to put your photo up there.
Yeah!
Whoa!
What's
Colton Hayes joined the cast of American Horror Story 7? So he's back on TV, but I need him in
Do
our
we
lives.
Know what 7's even about yet?
It's usually know the yet. Purge meets the Burbs outside of the White House. No, that can't be what I don't know what it's about.
Okay. Paul Ponte.
I have a podcast called The Screen Watchers Guild. It's at thescreenwatchersguild.com. You can listen to two guys talk about Wonder Woman.
I love it.
Amazing.
Roxy cool. Stryer.
Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. And on Tuesdays, I do TV Fights. Yo. So if you want to hear us talking more about TV,
that's right.
And go there because we're fighting.
Boomtown.
Yeah, Boomtown.
This Sunday, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is our biggest event of the year called the Red Carpet Rumble in Port Hueneme, California. If you want to go, I'll tell you how. Hit me up on social media. July 4th, I'll be doing commentary as well for Bar Wrestling in Los Angeles. And July 14th to 16th, Chicago, I'm going to be at the Comedy Bar headlining the entire weekend. If you're in Chicago, I would love to see you, so hit me up. I will tell you all about that as well. And then La Jolla Comedy Store, Comic-Con weekend. That's going to be a blast, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Love you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.